Well, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. This weekend, we honor you. I want to say happy Mother's Day to my mom, who is watching this from Michigan. I know that every single week, my mom joins us with bated breath as she waits for her favorite son to deliver a weekly message. Happy mom, happy Mother's Day, mom, happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Thanks for doing what you do. So over the years, I have met on and off with a counselor. I've spent so many years of my life attempting to help other people that I realize that I'm a human being and I, on occasion, need others to come alongside me to help me deal with my own stuff. So I was in one particular session with my counselor, whom I loved, and we were discussing an issue. And she looked at me and she asked me, she said, "Mike, what do you think you should do about that issue?" And I thought about it. I kind of danced around it. And she started to ask me some questions, gave me some suggestions. And every time she gave me a suggestion, I said, "No, I can't do that. No, that'll never work. No, I can't do that." And so finally, she stopped and she said, "You know, Mike, you're just making excuses." She said, "Nothing's ever going to change because you refuse to take action." And I thought, whoa, 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 wait just a minute. I am paying you to say nice things about me. I went home. I was offended. I threw stuff around the house. I kicked the dog. I didn't kick the dog. I love my dog. But I was like frustrated. But she was also right. And so I started to implement some of her uncomfortable suggestions, and surprise, 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 things started to get better. We've spent the last 5 weeks talking about voices, exploring the different voices that we hear, because we all hear voices, voices that influence us. The voices that we listen to shape who we become. There's a voice, however, that is more important than any of the other voices that we hear. The Apostle Paul refers to this voice as the voice of the Spirit. In the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 6, we read, "So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace." See, my desire is that I would be guided in my life by the voice of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes that the voice of the Spirit gives us life. It's another way of saying vibrance and peace. See, as we live our lives in Christ, there is a hum of the Spirit deep down inside of us, a vibrance that leads to peace. Now, there are, of course, other voices that compete, other voices that are turned up so loud that the voice of the Spirit is drowned out. The voice of culture, the voice of doubt, the voice of the past. This weekend, we're going to wrap this whole thing up by considering the voice of the critic. One of the emotional hurdles that I've had to overcome in my life is the voice of the critic. I am a recovering people pleaser. Hi, my name is Mike, and I please people. See, I love it. You love it when people say good things about us. You love it. I love it when people say good things about me. And I don't like it when people have critical things to say about me. See, I love to hear people tell me how awesome I am. It makes me feel good, but the truth is it doesn't help me grow and become a better person. And I don't like it when people criticize me or tell me where I could change. It makes me feel uncomfortable, and yet I grow, I get better, and become a more life-giving human being. Now, there may be some of you watching, and you're thinking, Mike, that's fine, but I don't need this because I don't care what people think. Now, maybe that's true. I think most of us care what people think. So I think it's finding the right harmony. The author and speaker Brené Brown once said, when we stop caring about what people think, we lose our capacity for connection. And when we become defined by what people think, we lose our capacity for vulnerability. Now, I have critics. I know it's shocking. How could a wonderful person like myself have critics? But I do. They're out there. And I've heard all kinds of things. I've even heard competing things. Like, I've heard people say to me, you know, Mike, your messages are incredibly deep. I've also had people say, Mike, your messages are incredibly shallow. I've had people say to me, Mike, you don't use enough scripture when you speak. And I've had people say, and I promise you it happened, you use too much scripture when you speak. I've had people tell me, Mike, you tell too many stories, and Mike, you don't tell enough stories. I've had people tell me, Mike, you dress too formally. And I've had others say, Mike, you dress too casually. I've had people say, Mike, I don't like your belt buckle, your hair. It goes on and on and on. I've heard just about everything. So what do I do with all this in a way that is consistent with my desire to follow in the way of Jesus, to be a better, courteous, kind human being? I think it begins when we define what a critic actually is, because not all critics are bad. If you open a dictionary, and we have many dictionaries out there, both online and in paper format, you'll find lots of definitions for critic. I found this definition in one dictionary, and it was this. A critic is one who expresses a reasoned opinion. A reasoned opinion. We are in desperate need of people who can give an educated and reasoned opinion. But there's another definition, and it goes something like this. A critic is someone who is given to harsh judgment. The voices that I allow into my life, including the voice of the critic, can either help me become better, help me experience the hum of God's Spirit in my life, or they can squelch my soul and drown out the voice of Christ. So I want us, for the next few moments, to consider some critical voices that are defined in the Scripture using the language of the Bible, particularly the book of Proverbs. So if you've got a Bible, we are going to turn today to the Old Testament book of Proverbs. Now, if you're not familiar with a proverb is simply a short sentence. It's usually considered a sentence of wisdom that's role is to help us live life better. Most of the Proverbs of the Old Testament were written by King Solomon, the son of David. And in the book of Proverbs, we are given several examples of critics. The first one I want us to explore is what the Bible calls the life giver. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 31. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. See, life givers are people that aren't simply interested in making you feel good about yourself. See, life givers are interested in making you a better person. Life givers may not always tell you what you want to hear, but they care enough about you and are vested enough in your success to tell you the truth. King David refers to these people in Psalm 141 by saying this, "Let the godly strike me, and it will be a kindness. If they correct me, it is soothing medicine." The life giver can offer healthy critique, of ideas and behavior without destroying, demeaning, or dehumanizing. Life givers are not only people who are in your corner, but they're also willing to get into the ring with you. The ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Surround yourself with life givers. It may be uncomfortable at times, but they will help you become the best version of yourself. Well, there's another type of critic found in the book of Proverbs. And to use the biblical language, these people are referred to as the fool. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 2 in the English Standard Version. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, but delight in airing their own opinions. If you show up for life at all, if you do anything of value or of meaning, these people will emerge. The fool are the critics that are not invested in you at all. They're simply concerned with their agenda. They don't care about you or making your life better. These people are often driven by emotion. Their motto is, what I feel outweighs what is actually true or right. Their tactic is often name-calling, referring to others as idiots or evil. Remember, this proverb says, fools find no pleasure in understanding. They often live life from the cheap seats. And as the proverb says, they delight in airing their own opinions. These folks are often chronic complainers. They will wear you out and suck all of life out of you. They often aim to hurt. These people will never be satisfied. And so your only strategy is to do your best to mute them in your life. Now, I've had, honestly, both the life giver and the fool in my life. But if we're being vulnerable, I've also been the life giver and the fool. Unfortunately, the voice of the life giver often gets drowned out by the voice of the fool. This past school year, my son wrestled for Slinger Middle School, and I went to just about all of his meets. I went to one particular meet that was in the middle school cafeteria. The tables were taken out, the mats were rolled out. And as a result, all of the spectator seating was really, really close to the mat. I'll never forget this one match. This poor kid goes out to wrestle. And when the whistle blows, all these people start yelling at him, telling him what to do. One person was clearly his father and his mother. There were other people yelling at him, telling him to do certain moves, screaming, and all these voices and all this chaos. The unfortunate part was the voice that mattered most, the voice of the coach, was drowned out by all the other competing voices. It would be incredibly difficult for this young man to filter out all those competing voices, to hear the one that mattered most. So how do we filter out all of the competing voices in our life? I want to get real, real practical, because I think there's some questions that we can ask ourselves when we hear these voices competing for our attention, particularly the voice of the critic. First, we should ask, what is the source of the critic? What is the source of the voice? Is this someone who knows me? Is this someone who loves me? Or is this just some person wanting to air grievances? Is it some person writing me anonymous notes and letters? Is it some internet troll trying to hijack what I have to say? Listen, when I get stuff, which I do on occasion, when I get things given to me anonymously, an anonymous note, an anonymous email, you know what I do with it? I crumple it up and I throw it away because I know this person is not interested in me. They're simply interested in complaining. They're not interested in making me or situations better. They just want to take a pathetic, cheap shot, so I simply throw it away. A second question to ask is, what is the spirit? Is the spirit judgmental belittling, humiliating, or shaming? Or is the person giving me the benefit of the doubt and offering critique with grace? Third question, what's the intent? Was the intent to inflict a personal hurt, or was it to make me a better person? And finally, there's a fourth question I always ask. And the question is there any kernel of truth in this? Because if you look hard enough, there's always a small element of truth. So when you hear the voice of the critic, are you hearing the life giver, or are you hearing the fool? The way you can distinguish between the two is by asking yourself these questions. Now, it may be best to let some of these people go. It may mean pruning some people from your life. I've had to prune people from my own life because they were not making me better. They were actually making me worse. Pruning people from your life is difficult. Sometimes it's ugly, but more often than not, the outcome is incredible. A couple of years ago, in the spring, we had this bush in our front yard, and we prune it every year because it gets real big and real wild, and we kind of prune it down and it grows back. Well, a couple of years ago, my wife got out the pruning shears, and I thought she just like decimated this thing. She pruned this thing to the point that it looked like a stick coming out of the ground. And I came home and I said, Rebecca, what did you do? You killed this bush. You know you killed this bush, right? It looks ridiculous. Well, that next year, that bush came back more full and more healthy than I'd ever seen it. It needed pruning. I had to prune an individual from my life, and it was incredibly difficult and painful. But as I look now at my current reality, my life is so much better because of the work of pruning. Some people you prune, some people you lean into. The voice of the life giver, the voice of the fool. There's a third voice, and I want to wrap up with this, and this is the voice of the inner critic. Every one of us has an inner critic that lives in our mind. Now, to talk about the inner critic, I've decided to bring a very special guest who not only is excellent at helping others deal with their own critic, but also has to wrestle with the inner critic of her own. So I've invited my wife, Rebecca, to join us today. Rebecca is a counselor with New Life Resources, and I know you're looking at her right now, and if you've never met my wife, you're probably thinking, how in the world did I land her? Well, truth is, I wooed her with my ways, and I have my ways. So Rebecca, welcome. Thanks for being here with us. We're gonna kind of do this like a little dialogue here. So I've got some questions. We've got notes to keep us on track. Rebecca, beginning with the first question we kind of wrestled with, like what is an inner critic? What does that mean? What does it look like?
The term inner critic is a way to explain the way that we talk to ourselves in a negative or demeaning way. It'll sound something like, I'm never going to get it right, something is wrong with me, no one really loves me or likes me, I'm just such a failure. The inner critic will attack our competency, it will attack our value and our worth, our appearance, et cetera, et cetera. Our inner critic can be really loud, and some people are really aware of it because it's so loud it's in their ear all the time. For others, it is kind of sneakier. It'll just hide in all the other thoughts that you might have in a day.
So, all right, so what does your inner critic sound like?
Well, my inner critic sounds a lot like Scar from The Lion King. The reason I say that is because when I envision how it talks to me, that's what I think of. I think of Scar. Maybe a belittling voice, kind of snarky. Sounds like he's telling the truth, but really isn't. Actually, as soon as you asked me to do this interview, my inner critic, my Scar, just launched a violent attack against my competency. I actually heard, who do you think you are? you don't know anything about this. You don't know enough to talk about this. You better say no. You're going to make a fool out of yourself. It was pretty harsh.
You know what my inner critic sounds like? My inner critic sounds like the Godfather just before he's about to whack somebody. That's my inner critic. So, all right. So we've all got this inner critic. So what do you do about it? Like, what are some practical things we can do about the inner critic that lives in all of our heads?
So there's three things. Of course, this isn't, anything or all the things that you could actually do. But I'd like to talk about three things today. So first would be to gain awareness and acknowledgement. To analyze it, and to practice being kind to yourself.
Let's just break those down, all right? So the first one you said is be aware and acknowledge it. What does that mean?
Well, let me just start with this. Becoming aware is often the hardest part. Like I mentioned earlier, some people have a very loud inner critic. They're typically very aware of it all the time. Others, and I think this includes most of us, we have a hard time identifying our inner critic. That critical voice, that scar voice that we might have. What has helped me is to learn to pay attention to my emotions. When my inner critic starts talking to me, I start having like that sinking feeling in my stomach, maybe a feeling of embarrassment. Again, when you asked me to do this interview, my emotions, that feeling came, hit me like a rock. I've learned to listen to that, to take my cues that when I start to have that feeling, that's my inner critic. So it's your emotion. You can pay to your emotion first, then pay attention to the thought. That's helped me out quite a bit.
So like, what's a practical thing you can do?
A really easy thing to do is to start a thought log. So you'd get your notebook, have a pen, basically carry it with you wherever you go. Write down every time you have a critical thought. Every time you notice it, write it down. If you have it, I wouldn't want to say just write it once. Every time you have it, write it down. This is going to help you to really identify what that thought is, and also it's going to help you to know how often you're saying it to yourself, which is actually kind of shocking for most of us.
All right, so aware and acknowledge. The second you said was analyze it. So how do I know I'm dealing with my inner critic? Like, what is that? What does it mean to analyze it?
Okay. Well, analyzing, you have to ask the question, how do I know I'm dealing with my inner critic? The inner critic, sometimes when we have had this in our life for a really long time, a thought that I'm having might just feel like a thought, a regular thing that's going on. So I have to have a way to say, okay, this really is an inner critic thought. So we can ask ourselves, is it true? When I said I don't know enough to talk about it, that was my inner critic talking to myself. The truth is I've studied this particular subject for myself. I actually just finished a training course about this very subject, and I work with clients on this, often. So the truth is I may not know everything about it, but I do know some things about it. And honestly, I do know enough to be able to talk about it. Second, you want to ask yourself, is it extreme? Using absolutes, always, nevers, nobody will ever love me, I will always be alone, I will always be a failure, things that I've mentioned before. Pay attention to when you start to hear yourself using extremes and absolutes. You can also ask yourself, would I say this to someone else? If you actually went up to someone and said the very thing, if I went to someone and said, you don't know anything about this subject, I would probably feel pretty bad about that. I'd feel bad about that. So that's a good way to gauge whether or not I'm having an inner critical thought. Just something to remember also is thoughts are just thoughts. They're not facts, even if they feel like a fact. And I understand this can be really hard to do when our inner critic is speaking strongly to our sense of worth and our sense of value. It can be difficult to remember those things, but using those questions, using those strategies can help you.
So the third thing you mentioned was to practice being kind to yourself. So right. How does one do that?
The best place to start is going back to Scripture, going back to the Bible. Some things that have helped me is remembering that I'm made in the image of God. I've been created exactly as He wanted me to be. Psalm 139, he created my inmost being. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Those are really powerful verses that can help us to remember what our value, what our worth is from a source that's absolutely true. God himself, to play the God card, so to speak. Maybe you need to find a different verse for yourself, something that will speak specifically to a wounded part of you, a part that you often hear yourself being critical. Your inner critic speaks to you a lot. Remind yourself of it often. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it on your mirror. Get to it as much as you can. This is going to help you to start to replace that inner critical voice with a voice of truth and a voice of love.
So basically, you're telling people, give yourself permission to not be perfect.
Absolutely. Permission to not be perfect. That's a big one, actually, when we're dealing with our inner critic. And I actually am a perfectionist. I work on it a lot, but that's where my mind can go pretty easily. Today, after this, I know I'm going to have to say to myself, I did the best that I could. I actually can be really proud of myself that I was able to do this, something that's way out of my comfort zone, something that I'm not typically comfortable or even willing to do. My brain's going to want to focus on the negatives, what I could have said, what I should have said, if I said it weird, or maybe I didn't make it clear enough. Practicing being kind to yourself can also involve going to somebody who is kind to you, somebody that you know you can trust their voice. I'd call it phoning a friend, calling in reinforcements, looking for those people in my life that will help me to remember that, yes, I am worthy of love. I'm worthy of accepting myself. I can give myself permission to not be perfect. Mm-hmm. I'll give myself some self-compassion today. I'm going to accept myself as I am. That phrase, accepting myself as I am, is really, really powerful. It's a really powerful way to begin to replace those critical thoughts with the practice of being kind. I'm accepting that this is who I am. I don't have to be anything else. I don't have to be like anybody else, but just me. Learning to love myself.
I'm just thinking about that scripture where Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We think so often about loving our neighbor, but we forget that we're supposed to love ourselves too, right?
Right. The scripture is love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I think for a really long time in my life, I thought the spiritual thing to do was to love my neighbor, and I really always skimmed over the part of loving myself. It is interesting that Jesus tied loving him with loving ourselves. This isn't about being egotistical or self-centered. This is us aligning up with Scripture, with God's Word, what he says. I have actually worked on this quite a bit for myself, and it's been really interesting to me how much has changed for me internally and how I've been able to relate with people in a very, very different way. Not just relating, but how I see them, more empathetic. I have more compassion, being able to really understand their struggles and even rejoicing with other people, enjoying their talents and enjoying their gifts, because I'm secure in the love of myself and I can give that to other people freely.
All right, so we're going to wrap this up. So final thoughts. I mean, what would you say to people who are watching this right now that are struggling with their own inner critic?
Mm-hmm. I would like to say everyone has an inner critic. If you're sitting listening to this and you're thinking, wow, I'm really messed up. I'm probably the only one that has this. That's not true. We all have an inner critic. Like I said earlier, some of us will have a much louder voice, and some it may not be as loud. It doesn't matter, though. Everyone has an inner critic. Also, I want you to know this is a process. It's a journey. It's going to take time, and it's probably going to require you to deal with some painful areas of your life. That's not necessarily a bad thing. This can be a way for you to move towards a healthier whole person, the kind of person that God wants you to be. I want you to know you're not alone. Reach out to a trusted friend and get help if you need to. Find a spiritual director, see a pastor, come to see a counselor, whatever whatever you need to do, remember you're not alone and it's okay to get help. Finally, I just want to say you really are worth the effort. You are deeply, you're unconditionally loved by our Heavenly Father. Don't let the lie that says you're not worth it keep you stuck in this place. Reach out. You're worth it.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Rebecca. Thanks for being here, sharing your wisdom on us. I'll see you at home in a little bit. I hear we're having pizza tonight.
Yes, we are having pizza.
I'm super excited about that. So
it's going to be amazing.
We're going to wrap this up because I'm just going to get on some pepperoni. All right. Hey, thanks, Rebecca, so much for being here.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. And we are going to kind of wrap this up together now because, again, the voices that you listen to shape who you become. So maybe today you're listening to the voice of the fool or the voice of the inner critic, and those voices are drowning out the voice of the life giver, and maybe most importantly, the voice of the Spirit. We began this series on Easter, and on Easter we considered the voice of the resurrected Jesus. See, the voice of the resurrected Jesus reminds us, the Gospel of John chapter 19, that it's finished, that the work of Christ was completed on the cross. He heals us of our brokenness. He also said that he's making all things new. Jesus reminds us in the Gospels that he is with us always, even to the end of the age. So my prayer for you today is that you would open yourself to not only the voice of the life giver, but open yourself up to the voice of the resurrected Jesus, who says, "It's finished. I'm making all things new, and I'll be with you even to the end of the age." So now, gracious God, we just offer ourselves to you, our heart and our mind. Each day we are bombarded with so many voices. We hear the voice of doubt, the voice of culture, the voice of the past, the voice of the critic. My prayer for every one of us is that we would open ourselves, that we would turn down those other voices so that we could hear the voice of the Spirit who brings life and who brings peace. So open our mind, open our heart, in Jesus' name, amen. Now, as you wrap up, just want to remind you that you can head to our website if you're not there and submit your connection card. Hope you'll take a moment and do that. There is a place on those cards for prayer requests, and I want you to know we are praying for those cards every single week. It's one of the ways we stay connected with you. We are now going to worship God through our giving and do want to thank you once again for your incredible generosity to Northbrook. We are doing pretty well right now in these crazy times, so thank you for your continued generosity. You can give to Northbrook one of three ways. You can head over to northbrookchurch.org and click on the giving tab. You can also give via text by texting NBC in the amount to 73256. And as always, you can give by putting a stamp on an envelope and placing that envelope in the mail. We are checking our mail every single day, so know it's in a secure place. So thank you in advance for your continued generosity to Northbrook. Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Go in grace. May you turn up the voice of the Spirit in your life, experiencing His life and His peace.